Unfortunately, due to poor hotel Wi-Fi, there were some technical difficulties during this evening's episode. I've stitched it together as best I can, and it should not be a bad experience, but I did want to give you this warning should you be sensitive to the possibility of technical difficulties. I've taken measures to improve for next week, as I will be in this hotel for a little while. This is the Android Buffet Podcast, recorded Wednesday, August 15th, 2018, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you're sighing, you bring on the rain, so stop your sighing, be happy again. When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Woohoo!
And I hope you enjoyed that extended version of our theme song.
This time with less kazoo.
Well, I brought the original audio file that we started out with. I know you heard.
I heard.
So,
or a herd. It's like,
so Jerry, how is Wednesday doing for you?
It seems so short.
Well, I come to you from the future.
From the future?
Yes.
Are you saying it's Thursday where you are?
Yes. I'm speaking to you.
That's crazy talk.
I'm speaking to you through the magic of time travel. I am calling you from Thursday, August 16th.
Wow. Congratulations. So what time zone are you in?
I don't know what they call this. One second. Let me look it up. Let's see. I am UTC plus 8.
Goodness. That's like Middle East zone area.
No. Asia.
Even further.
So I am once again on business for my employer for the next few weeks. So for the rest of August, I will be coming in from here, which is why I asked if you might be willing to record a little earlier, because it is the end of my day here.
Mm-hmm.
And after I'm done talking to you, I have one or two errands to run, and then I'm going to bed.
Ah, to the bed.
Well, in some countries, an 8-hour workday is not traditional. This is one of those countries where their standard workday is longer than 8 hours, so I'm tired.
Ah.
So, let's see, a few things. I did want to, since I'm traveling, talk about traveling with your Android devices.
Ooh.
So, I had a lot of worry about what I would bring on this trip.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I went back and forth. Should I bring my Chromebook, which can run Android apps? Should I bring the little 8-inch tablet, etc.? I did bring my phone, mm-hmm. of course, because I would not go anywhere without that.
Of course.
And I opted for the 8-inch tablet, not because I didn't think that the Chromebook that folds over that I have wouldn't be better, but because of the maximum number of things I could stuff into a single suitcase. But I did bring some extra fun things.
Ah.
I have a USB-C SD card reader so that I could read cards from my camera.
Did it work?
Yes. I also brought a USB stick with a converter so that I could bring additional movies if I got bored.
Cool.
I have my microphone, which I actually could, in theory, plug into my phone if I wanted to, but I have plugged into a computer. This is a Samson Go mic, so it is the smallest mic that I've ever used on this podcast.
Ooh, are you saying it's a tiny mic?
It's a
mini mic.
Yes. There are actually some people who use this mic for their microcasting, who I've been listening to. I happen to already have
microcasting.
One. Well, you know what a microblog is?
Is that a really tiny blog?
Well, that's where you microblogging is would be things like Twitter, where you're basically writing out your weblog entries in very short characters.
All characters very short.
Well, you know what I mean. Twitter used to be 140, now it's 280, but that's still a short space limited. So a microcast right. is a space limited podcast. So instead of let's say
a TED Talk?
How long is a TED Talk?
Normally 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, that would be probably about 5 minutes would be a microcast.
Ah.
So I've been listening to a few interesting ones.
Like what?
There's one by the individual who's responsible for micro.blog, which is a microblogging platform. A guy named Manton Reese. And he also does a long form podcast. So I've been listening to him talk about the development of his new software project.
Ah.
So beyond that.
Alrighty.
I haven't done much home automation here.
I can only imagine because you're not home.
Well, I did think about bringing a little
one
camera.
One normally requires a home for home automation.
But I did, before I left, update my home at home so that I can monitor it better remotely. So it now has its own URL. Ooh.
It does. Is it a dynamic DNS thing? Or
it is a Namecheap.
Did you point an app?
It's an actual domain, but it's a Namecheap dynamic DNS. So Namecheap allows you to do dynamic DNS with any domain you buy there.
Ah.
So now my house does have a URL. It is dynamic, but I don't have to get one of those generic ones like DuckDNS.
Gotcha.
And if I decide I don't want to host things in my house anymore, I could just move the domain out of the house.
Cool.
I think so.
I think so.
So there were some interesting bits of news of an Android nature. There was a nice article, Dark Themes Should Be the Norm, Not the Exception.
Hmm.
What do you think? I like dark themes.
I do too for most stuff. However, for reading, like articles and stuff, on black. I'm sorry, a black on white. But, yeah, for most stuff, I would absolutely prefer a dark theme.
So you would say that every app having a dark option would be a good thing, one that could be turned on and off if you were the type of person who didn't like dark themes?
I would say it would be a good thing. However, I don't think it should be regulated.
Why would it be regulated? Norm is not regular. Norm is... A norm is something where it is the more common thing to do.
Okay, but as long as it's not penalized...
I don't think it should be
by
penalized.
...by some authority if an app doesn't have a dark theme. As long as the Play Store doesn't start deprioritizing your app if it doesn't have a dark theme. That was evil.
Well, I'm going to go by...
However,
only by
the general advice...
public opinion.
Opinion is a bad court.
I know, but I'm saying if you're talking about penalties, the only people that should be upset if you don't have a dark theme would be the users who want a dark theme.
I can get behind that. However, you know, Plants vs. Zombies 2 doesn't have a dark theme. It doesn't have a light theme. It doesn't have a theme. It's just, it's the colors that it is.
Someday somebody will explain to me how plants get into a fight with zombies.
The plants didn't start it. They were just there living their lives, and the zombies, they started it.
Are you telling me you're anti-zombie?
I'm anti getting my brains eaten.
That's just a vicious stereotype, perpetuated by people who do not like the zombie community.
Okay. But when they tell me that they want to eat my brains, then I don't know what else I'm supposed to think. Maybe it's not the whole zombie community at large. Maybe it's just the particular zombies that I have had the misfortune of meeting.
When was the last time you met a zombie?
I don't know.
Okay. So you should
shifty like that.
You shouldn't form an opinion based on rumors about zombies. You should meet an actual zombie and form your own opinion.
Well, until that happens.
You will just live in fear, I know.
Yep.
So there was a nice
article. Should we do some news?
We are doing news. We were talking about dark themes.
We are doing this. Oh, dark themes.
We were just about to segue into the next article that I shared with you, which was about all of the features that made it into Android Pie, which you get to enjoy, but I do not.
Oh, don't be jealous.
I'm not jealous. I'm just saying that I can only read about these features and you are living them.
I am living them.
So have you enjoyed inline photos and Smart Reply?
You know, I have noticed that when I can reply on a notification, I do notice that it's much better and that I can see pictures. If I type something in and then go to the app, then the stuff I typed in is there. It doesn't disappear. The interactive notifications are significantly better, in my opinion.
Have you taken advantage of cropping and drawing on screenshots that you captured?
I have not. I very rarely screenshot. I'm too private a person.
Me too. Have you noticed that the volume buttons no longer control the ringer volume, but now they control the media volume?
All the time?
By default, yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Have you tried to simultaneously?
It was always annoying that you had to have something playing before you could change the media volume, which kind of defeated the point. If it's late at night and you wanted to, you know, start a game or something, but you didn't want the volume turned all the way up, you couldn't actually turn it down easily until it started playing. And at that point, it's too late. So, yep. Cool. Good stuff.
So what about simultaneous connections of 5 Bluetooth audio devices?
I think that I am taking advantage of that, although I'm not sure. Because I have my headset connected via Bluetooth, and it connects as two items, but maybe it's only one, because I don't know. I don't know. I have not taken advantage of it.
I'd like to try it, though, because I don't understand why that you can't do a simultaneous playback. That would be nice, but occasionally I might want to have more than one device connected and then switch between them seamlessly.
You're a busy beaver right now, aren't you?
No, I'm trying to figure out all this other stuff. I'm just tired. Yep. Anyway, zoom lenses for text selection.
That's nice. So when you go to select something, it'll blow up that area that you're selecting, which is nice because sometimes you can't see right underneath your finger.
Temporary rotation lock.
Woo!
Well, I don't know. I always turn off auto rotation. It annoys me.
Oh, I don't.
app notification tracking?
I have noticed that I had a notification that it will ask me if I want to stop getting notifications, like for place ones where I routinely just dismiss the notification. It asked me if I wanted Android to block those notifications. That was cool.
How about wired charging sounds? You like having a wired charging sound?
Sure.
How about this one sounds interesting? Chrome-like feature flags. So basically, just like Chrome has these feature flags for testing features or tweaking things, Android has the same thing. Pulling down the notification try results in vibration.
It does?
Apparently.
Not on my phone.
It was on their list. As I said, I'm only going off the list. You have the actual thing.
I know, and that's what I'm saying.
No.
Not on my phone.
Text selection, image sharing, and other interactions via the app switcher. So you could basically copy text and pull images between apps and the switcher.
Haven't figured out how to do that.
Here's one. Offers to hide frequently dismissed notifications. This is the one you were talking about.
Yep, that was cool.
Gesture navigation.
I haven't figured out the gesture-based navigation system.
Well, when I get it, I'll be happy to try it and help you figure it out.
Thank you.
App actions, which would be basically recommending your next
action. We have talked about...
Did you hear me?
Nope.
App actions. That would be the app predictions that were happening before, but basically they recommend your next action as opposed to your next service.
Okay, sure. That's the when it was 10 o'clock at night and it recommended apps. It recommended calling my contractor and something else. And right now, these are actually kind of decent suggestions. It's saying I can call my wife or listen to Spain, the top 50 in Spain in Spotify, which are both reasonable suggestions.
How about podcasts with your friend?
Nope, that's not on.
So there's a shortcut for ring mode. So this would pressing the power and volume up keys together creates a command that enables the vibrate or mute modes that can be customized.
Which were, you talked about the ring mode shortcut, and I got flustered because I tried it and it went to vibrate and I couldn't figure out how to get it off of vibrate. Turns out I pressed the volume up button and then hit the little gear button, and then I could turn my ring volume back up. So if it happens to you, now you know how to fix it.
Weather on the lock screen?
Yes.
Do you like it?
I can confirm it's there.
Okay, so
I neither like nor dislike
it. I like the idea of weather because I like to know what the weather is. There's also there's also calendar events on the lock screen.
Okay, that's cool.
I like automatic color adjustment.
That has absolutely been very helpful sometimes. I cannot speak to this.
Okay. The best I could say about it is that if you are very sensitive to changes in colors, this sounds good. But if you aren't, then it's not a big deal.
See, I took this as different. I thought this would be like if it's nighttime and you've got nightlight on. So your screen's really yellow or more yellow than normal, right? And then you go to watch a movie. Then it's going to come out for the video or properly balanced. That was how I interpreted this feature, but I have not seen it happen.
Well, I'm interpreting it as based on what color the app you're in is, it's going to adjust the color. Like if your app is yellow, it's going to make adjustments.
Okay.
There's a camera laser sensor toggle, but that only works if you have a camera laser sensor. We talked a while ago about the automatic 24-hour time format. Yeah, that it can switch based between 12 and 24-hour time based on location rather than on...
And we determined that this was not for travelers. This was for people who typically stay in one place, and it was just one less thing that they needed to change when they set up their phone, which was cool, and I can get behind that.
So in the visual side of things, display cutouts or notches are supported. The time is on the left side of the status bar.
Which I am really starting to not like. But it's
there must be a way to move it back.
Now it's I've tried. There's not that I could find. It's because after how many years of using Android with the time on the right side of the screen, when I turn my phone on, one of the first things the upper right-hand corner to see the time. It's habit. And now I look there, and there's no time there, and I have to remember, oh, it's in the other side. Now, granted, this is not a big deal, and eventually I will adjust, but right now it's quite annoying. Rant over.
I'm sorry. Let's see what else we have here. New colors. The ambient display shows battery percentage and centers notifications. The nightlight toggle shows active time. The volume slider has been repositioned to the side of the screen, and Bluetooth devices are listed.
That's true. I like it there. It's right by where the volume buttons are, and it's a lot easier to, you know, you're pressing the buttons, and it's a lot easier to access the, it's a great position for the volume notification. It's great. I love it.
I like the picture. I cannot comment yet on the button itself. Let's see here. The power menu button, screenshot button, where if you hit the power button, and one of the options will be to take a screenshot. Battery saver no longer makes everything orange. The unlock pattern fades as you swipe. So they have, let's see, battery per app metrics and the Android O style battery graph are now a developer option.
On or off.
Menu tweaks for the USB menu. Then you have, setting for icon for picture in picture. A Bluetooth icon disappears from status bar when not in use. You can tag Wi-Fi networks as metered from network details.
Meaning that you can tag specific Wi-Fi connections as metered. Not only your mobile.
Yeah, you could do that, but it was in the data saver before.
Cool.
Adaptive battery is coming in. Android Auto Wireless is not a Nexus and Pixel exclusive feature anymore. UI tweaks for split screen. Replying to a notification no longer dismisses it. And there is a manage notifications shortcut.
Which is handy.
You have, let's see, a maximum of 4 visible notifications. There's a color picker, color profile picker reference photo. You can keep phones awake with the fingerprint scanner. And the battery saver setting persists after charging.
Ooh.
There are tweaks to the Bluetooth settings. There is a Wear OS volume indicator. Hotspot will automatically turn off when no devices are connected. So let's see what else. Dark and light pixel launcher theme toggle. So you get at least one of those. Direct share targets trimmed from to 4 from 8. Changes in iconography. Call volume has its own slider in settings. Home screen reordering removed. Microphone button removed from search. And apparently there's a fix for a Wear OS phone call audio bug. Apps can no longer access microphone or camera in the background. I think I keep losing Jerry, which is most frustrating. It makes doing a podcast with him very difficult. This is going to be extremely frustrating for the next few weeks. I apologize. Yeah, this is getting very frustrating. Wrap up. Well, I'm going to finish up the rest of these things quickly then. And I will cut the podcast together. So there is a great article that you should read. If we're dropping the headphone jack, Android should adopt USB audio class 3. So the idea is that there is a better USB audio standard that Android does not actually support. And if they've decided that they're going to put fewer head jacks onto phones, then they probably should adopt this better standard so that people can use USB audio devices. What do you think, Jerry?
I would prefer that people kept the headphone jack because it's something that works, and we have seen problems with trying to plug in the headphones and charging from the Apple side of things, and it's ugly. And those little adapter type cables, they don't last very long. They're easy to lose. Not do this, that instead we stay with audio jacks, in my opinion.
Yeah, but do you think that if they're going to just persist in dropping it, do you think that having a better standard of USB devices would be a good part of this?
No.
Okay. I'd like both. I'd like them to not drop the analog, and I'd also like them to offer this alternative. I want it all.
I'd like to see better Bluetooth support.
Okay. So Chrome is going to add lazy loading in order to cut down on resource usage.
Nice.
So this is the feature where if something isn't showing on the screen, then it won't try to load it until it is loading on the screen. There is a new app called Pixel Shortcuts from the same person who did Action Launcher and a bunch of other useful apps that basically surfaces hidden applications on your Pixel. Power Amp, which is an app I've been using on and off since the earliest time I started using an Android device, now has an open beta for a newly refreshed version, which is long overdue.
Cool.
Since it hasn't been refreshed in a long time. YouTube TV has added its 100th service location.
Oh, goodness.
Google Voice has a new icon, which is a refined version of its old one, which looks sort of like the Hangouts icon.
It does.
Yeah. And Google DNS has turned 8.8.8.8 years old.
So 8 years old?
Yeah, but the article said 8.8.8.8, and I thought it was cute, so I repeated it.
Okay. I have one thing that I'd like to add. No, actually, I'm using that one.
Oh, Cloudflare?
Yep.
Okay.
It seems a lot quicker and more reliable here.
What about 9.9.9.9?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
So what's the one thing you want to add?
So in Android Pie, okay, so you know that when you turn your phone on, that you cannot unlock your phone with the fingerprint. You have to put in your PIN. Well, if you hold down the power button now, you get power off, restart, and the screenshot that we mentioned earlier, but you also get the option for lockdown. And what lockdown will do is it will make it so you have to put your PIN in to unlock it, but it will also prevent notifications from popping up on the screen that display.
Isn't that the feature that also has it so that you it disables the fingerprint reader? Or is that a different one?
It doesn't disable the fingerprint reader, but the fingerprint reader will not unlock the phone.
That's what I meant by disable.
Yes,
as in it does. It will no longer. So they can't force you. Let's say that you're imprisoned. They can't force you to unlock your phone with your fingerprint.
Exactly. Is a legal
issue that keeps. Okay. Well, since I've been having some technical difficulties, which hopefully will not continue into next week, I suggest we wrap up.